Welcome, everyone, to Toonami Therapy. It is November 1st of 2018 AD, just in case you were using a different calendar than that. What are all the different calendars, actually? Isn't there, I guess we could be going by star date. What's star date 2018?
I don't know.
All right, hang on, let's find out. Star date calculator into Google. Star dates calculated. Okay, according to the Google search, pick any combination of four numbers plus a percentage point. Use it as your story star date. Well, that was easy. All right, but we'll get into the actual stuff. All right, I am Michael, and...
I'm Tommy.
Okay, so... Well, I don't think today this was a particularly great week, unfortunately. I mean, I lost my job, I got into a car crash, one of my siblings died. Worst of all, everything I just said was made up for comic effect. I guess we'll start out then with My Hero Academia episode 24. So, essentially, first, we start out with sort of the aftermath of the fight in which Deku's really wounded and needs surgery, although I'm not exactly clear what surgery she actually did, because it gave the implication she just did her usual thing of just, healing people, so I don't know. Maybe it was in conjunction with that or something?
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, after... that we go through a bunch of the remaining matches, which usually kind of go through which we most kindly kind of went through quick, and then ultimately we get to the thing about how, hey, Bakugo is going to be Bakugo versus Todoroki, which wasn't really that big of a surprise. I mean, it was either going to be Todoroki or Ida who went up against Bakugo, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, I thought it was okay. I mean, the fights were kind of quick, but I at least thought they were kind of interesting. Although, here's something that annoys me a little that will probably annoy no one else, which is actually true of a lot of the things I criticize, now that I think about it. So, the episode's title is Fight on Ida. Now, two things. First of all, it uses... Actually, the first of all was something stupid, so never mind. Here's my problem. It's Fight on Ida. There should be a comma between on and Ida, because this is clearly addressing Ida, and there must be a comma before that. This episode's title was incorrectly grammaticized. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, it just you were kind of quiet there.
I didn't find this episode very interesting at all. It was so predictable that those two were going to make it to the finals against each other. I wish what they would have done was just kind of sped it up and got those two there. But as it stands, it's kind of like Survivor, where all the men win and all the women lose, which... is like something that's been going on in Survivor lately. And that's the way it was here, because all the male characters won, all the female characters lost. It just seems so predictable. And I just didn't care for this episode. But by comparison, it wasn't that bad compared to some of the other stuff this night.
Yeah. We're going to have some, there might be some disagreements between us on some of those later ones, but honestly, for this one, I don't really think, it was completely predictable Bakugo would make it. That was just a given, but I don't think that it was as clear going in that Todoroki would. It would have to be either him or Ida, because they're the only ones that are still in there, besides Bakugo, that have gotten actual, character focus. So it would have been one of the two, so there's at least a little bit of, not knowing there. But, otherwise, it was super obvious Bakugo would make it. But I think Device at least sort of gave a little more attention to some of the characters and such. Episode 5 of Boruto. So there's a new transfer student, which could have been interesting, but most of the episode, unfortunately, is focused on Shino having doubts about his ability to be an instructor, which was kind of less interesting to me.
Yeah.
Then he gets possessed or something.
Yeah. I didn't really lose interest in Boruto. I mean,
there's something wrong with how I'm hearing your voice. It sounds like sort of mechanical.
I don't know what's causing that. Huh.
Yeah. Well, it's a little better now, but it's still there a little. Well, I suppose we can just try to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So, what were you saying?
I was saying that Boruto hasn't had a very good start, as opposed to the original Naruto, which had a great start. And whenever I watched that, you know, I couldn't stop watching. And instead, the way this has started, it's just left me totally uninterested. So.
Well, a big part of the problem for the anime is that, they made the manga. Well, it was weird because first they made a anime movie about like the character and some stuff. Then there was a manga that first had an adaptation of the movie and then kind of went off and did its own things. The anime takes place, at least these parts, I don't know if it sort of reaches it at some point, is all before that. So basically we're essentially seeing okay, this is where all the interesting stuff starts. Now we're going to talk about all the stuff that happens before the interesting stuff actually starts starting. Because because that's, I guess, their version of filler for this series. So, yeah, I'm not really that into it either, honestly. I mean, do you want to keep going with it or drop it or...
I'll keep going with it for now, and we'll see if it gets better.
Okay. All right, so then we'll move on to the new one, Mob Psycho 100. So So there's a guy who's an exorcist, except he's actually a fake, but he uses a guy who actually is able to get rid of, the evil spirits to sort of do the work for him. And then this episode is them getting rid of an evil spirit, and then they go and get rid of other evil spirits. And that's kind of it. It's kind of short on plot when you get down to it.
Yeah.
I can definitely see, though, from... in both the good and bad ways, how this is by the author of One Punch Man, the comedy, when you look at the premise, there's a bunch of similarities. There's a guy who's super strong, but no one actually seems to recognize that. And, oh golly, I just realized there's, we didn't get it in season one, but later on there's a sort of thing in One Punch Man, I assume, which will be in season two, where there's this one guy who keeps getting all of the credit for everything Saitama does, so everyone thinks he's this amazing hero, even though he's basically a complete wimp.
That was in the second part of the first season, so I remember
it
that
was?
Part.
I don't.
I thought it I, was. Maybe no. You're right. You're right. You told me about that, and I assumed we saw that. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, so there's that here. There's also, the whole super powerful character who just kind of beats every thing. Even, some of the comedy is kind of, the same. Like the sort of fake guy, he, throws salt at the evil spirit. And there's, and he's, wait, that's nothing. You have to purify this first, you idiot! I got a laugh out of that. But for the most part, I found it just kind of... okay. I mean, there's some potential promise there, but I really worry that, kind of like how One Punch Man sort of just stuck with the joke of he beats everything in one hit, I'm kind of worried that this one is going to kind of be just running the joke of, hey, he's really powerful and no one understands it, and this guy takes all the credit while actually not being a very good exorcist.
Yeah. I really didn't find this to be a very engaging episode. You know, like whenever you, your first episode is a very important episode because, especially now with so many anime options for anyone, you can easily just drop something right off the bat. And I'm already ready to drop this because it just, there was nothing really interesting about it. There was nothing unique about it. It just felt like a bunch of other shows cobbled together to make a new show, you know, a lot like what you said about One Punch Man, but without the humor. Like, I mean, I guess it did have some humor, but I didn't find it too funny. So, yeah, I just did not like this at all.
Yeah, there were some jokes I thought were funny. I liked the salt bit. I liked the part where he, like, you know, just the fake exorcist decides to call, like, the main characters. And, you know, with the implication that he and the evil spirit just sort of stand there waiting for him to come. There was, and the part where the guy, like, you know, bends his spoon. His parents say, oh, that's just a perfectly normal thing for someone his age. But yeah, other than that, it mostly kind of felt like a worse version of One Punch Man, really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we got Attack on Titan episode 47. Now, I've a lot of times made, because for a while, especially in Bleach, there's always a thing where we get a super big important flashback about someone just before they die. And so I kept, whenever we get a big flashback about someone, making jokes like, oh, well, to my surprise, they didn't die afterwards. Well, Attack on Titan decided to bring it back. We have a character who dies and gets a super long flashback. And it's not even like a particularly interesting one either. It was, I had a comparison point, but now I can't remember what it was. I'd say the problem with this flashback compared to, there's one that I had in mind, but I can't remember. The point is, it's a flashback, but it doesn't really, it mostly only affects the guy who's having the flashback. It doesn't really intersect with the plot, I don't feel. I mean, okay, sure, it was like, oh, hey, he raised Levi, but I'm thinking, well, we already kind of knew that, so we didn't, so, you know, repeating that wasn't important. So that was what a whole lot of the episode was, and so there's not really much to comment on it beyond what I've already said. Then Historia becomes queen, and, now I have a question I needed to ask you. So that scene where she goes and punches Levi, what was your opinion of that scene?
My opinion was that it was a stupid attempt at humor. That's what my opinion was.
Okay, because Here's the problem I have with that scene as a manga reader. That the whole purpose of that scene in the manga was it was a reference to something that happened earlier in the series. Here's the problem. That whole sequence that it was a reference to was not adapted into the anime. So it's like a punchline without the setup, essentially.
So what happened? So tell me the story.
Okay, so basically, let me see if I can remember it. So basically, Levi is to try and explain it. He's basically like, you know, this is a little before she and Eren got captured. He was like telling her, "Hey, you need to be queen. That's important. Accept stuff." And you know, and then she's kind of ambivalent, and like Levi's kind of like really putting the pressure on. There's even like this part where he actually like kind of grabs her by the collar and like holds her up and like says, "Well, if you don't want to, then like, you know, punch me back or something like that." Anyway, so then she's like, "Well, okay." And then someone kind of says, "Well, when you become queen, what you should do is punch Levi and dare him to hit you back." And like and so this was all a reference to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole setup is not in the anime, and I probably didn't do a great job explaining it, but that's just a point. I'm so confused. Why did you include this scene if you didn't have the thing that made this scene have a point?
Yeah.
Okay. So for the most part, it was pretty mediocre, but The ending was the final scene was actually good, where we have like the Beast Titan, you know, having apparently fought against Rainer and beaten him and said, "Well, I won, so that means we're going to forget about Annie for now and just go after and focus on trying to like get Eren and such." So that actually was, I thought, interesting, but the rest of the episode was pretty mediocre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was typical Attack on Titan, just not very interesting to me.
Yeah, but at least that like indicates some more interesting stuff will happen. And I do know some more interesting stuff happens after this, but of course we're about to go on a hiatus, so we're gonna have to
How many more episodes?
Until the hiatus, I think we've got let me think. I think we've got two.
Okay.
Okay. Attack on Titan. All right, then we've got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Diamond is Unbreakable episode 10. So in this one they go to eat some Italian food, and the food keeps seeming to have like really bad effects on Okuyasu initially, but then it actually like, you know, makes him feel way better. And so it's, you know, stuff like, you know, him like just crying out this volumes of water, like so much. It's like, what? It's like, you know, wow, that could be bad. But then it just has a reaction of him, you know, just no longer feeling sleepy at all. Him like, you know, scratching down to the muscle. But then it just actually rejuvenating the skin. And so Josuke, you know, is kind of suspecting that it's the result of a stand, which it is, because it's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And so he goes to try to confront the guy, and basically it initially looks again like the guy's actually like, you know, a villain trying to hurt them. But then it turns out he was actually only angry because Josuke went into his kitchen without, like, you know, washing his hands. And basically we all find out, oh no, well, he's got a stand, but he's actually a good guy, and he's just been using it to make food and make people feel better and such. And this was an episode where I actually mostly enjoyed. So I'm sorry if that means we're no longer friends, because I know you hated it.
Yeah, I thought it was so stupid. I mean, I just do not understand what the point of this episode was.
Well, here was how I saw it, at least. For so many episodes, you know, we've had like the thing of weird stuff happens. It turns out to be a stand user that's trying to like hurt them and stuff. They fight and win. I saw this whole episode as basically a subversion of that. So yeah, there's all this crazy stuff happening to him, but it's actually not someone trying to hurt them, and because it keeps ending up benefiting them. And I sort of saw the whole thing as basically a subversion on the sort of standard formula, making the whole episode basically sort of a joke as a result of that. And though I can see why someone would not get it, because essentially that's the episode. It's all build up to that punchline. And if you don't think the punchline is funny, then you're not going to like, then that means you won't like anything in the episode, because that was the whole point of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just waiting for this season to finally have some sort of direction, and this was kind of like a slap in the face, kind of like, no, we're not going to give you a real plot this season. We're just going to tease you with bizarre stuff happening because it's in the title, and we'll have a bizarre adventure, but we aren't going to have any real plot to it. So
Well, we did see Joseph at the end.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, if this would have been, if Attack on Titan would have done this, or if Bojo would have done this, you know, I might have been okay with it. But I hold JoJo to a higher standard since, you know, part three was so good. And I'm hoping that part four is finally going to get, you know, something, some real story to it. We'll find out.
If it's any consolation, I should mention that. Remember how that like stand called the trademark friendly chili pepper, like what came and took the bow and arrow. That I think that apparently is like shows up again in the next episode. So it'll at least, so we'll at least next episode be getting a follow up on that.
Okay.
Okay. So we got Hunter Hunter episode 117.
Okay, I'm having a hard time remembering what happened this episode, and the reason is because it just wasn't very memorable. You got the old man who, you know, I was joking about the fact that he called him Grandpa, but that is his grandpa. So that's Kilo's grandpa who showed up and then just kind of goes away. And then Kilo teams up with Melorion, and now they're going to help out Knuckle. And what is most interesting about this episode is at the end, the narrator tells us that 3 minutes have passed. So all the stuff in the last five episodes or so has happened in a matter of 3 minutes. And if you feel like everything's going at a snail's pace, that's because it is. And his grandpa even mentioned that he felt like time was being changed. And it's true. And again, not very much happened. So we're still waiting for at least one of these battles to come to some sort of conclusion, but I wouldn't hold my breath. That's all I'll say.
Now that I think about it, so I always have trouble remembering their names. So Yopi, he's like the one who's being affected by that sort of interest-based attack of Knuckle, and Pito is doing the healing thing. What's the third member of the Royal Guard doing right now again?
Fighting that moral.
He's fighting moral. Okay, that was what he was doing. Oh yeah, I think we might have actually seen that this episode, and I forgot. But yeah, three minutes. That's well, part of that is that it's just anime time, but there's also the fact that so much of the of these episodes has been time basically being on pause so that the narrator can yammer on about whatever. Unfortunately, this is not being presented in real time, as they always did on 24.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was all the stuff on Toonami this week. I will agree with you, even though I like JoJo a lot more than you did. For the most part, it was a pretty mediocre week. Even the stuff you don't watch, like Dragon Ball Super, that was pretty mediocre. I like the show more than you do, but I'm going to say, wow, like by its normal standards, this wasn't that great. And then of course, after, you know, it's saying, oh, the last few episodes of Black Clover have been a big improvement. They're great. Then this episode was like, this episode wasn't that great. It still actually was probably better than most of the stuff that aired on Toonami, but it still was a step down from the previous, two episodes. Okay. We got Hunter Hunter. I guess we'll move on to our non-Toonami stuff. We got Ice Shield 21, episode 104.
Yeah, so this episode is the fourth of the five death games, and this one is against the Sphinx, who happen to also be playing in the tournament. So if they lose, they're out too. So now we know that one of them is going to certainly be out of the tournament. Except it's one of those good old things where they didn't tell us that it was possible for it to end in a tie. So what happens is they have the game. It ends in a tie. So both teams get to go and continue on. And one of the HaHa brothers, Jumanji, it was his episode. Like, if you've been paying attention, like, every once in a while, one character gets all this attention for an episode, and everyone finds out how important they are to the team, and then they go and they save the day. So that's basically what happens here. I did find one scene funny for unintentional purposes. It was the scene that, like, the entire team was just, like, huffing and puffing on TV. And first of all, it's like, why would some practice of a football team be on TV? Then he just turns on the TV and then he sees everyone huffing and puffing. And then the second thing is like how long they were just sitting there huffing and puffing. It was like, man, these guys must be so out of shape. Like, you never see that in football. People just sitting on the turf, you know, trying to catch their breaths. I mean, if you saw that, those players would be put on the bench immediately. So, yeah, that was unintentionally humorous. And ultimately, it wasn't a terrible episode, which is, I guess, good this week. So,
Well, in terms of, like, when you look at, like, the plot, it was kind of dull. But I at least thought there were some decent character moments in this episode. And what bugged me especially about, like, the previous filler episodes is it's all just kind of like, hey, a character who didn't need to learn a lesson needs to learn this lesson. And while that was kind of here, I feel it was kind of played down a little, and it was nice to, like, you know, the people's, like, reaction to Jumanji not being there and such. That was actually nice, you know, showing, like, you know, how they've really come together as a team and such. That part was nice. Some of the things were humor, but yeah, for the plot itself was pretty dull. And oh, I never even thought of that. You're right. Why? Like, do they? Yeah, they don't put high school, like, football stuff, like, well, I've never paid attention. Do they put, like, high school football games on TV anywhere or in the U.S.?
They'll put games on, but you'll never have a practice on TV because of the fact that you're trying to save stuff for the game and not let anyone spy on you. So that's what that is. That's a practice, and that would never be on television. So...
I was just thinking of, like, do they even put high school games on television to begin with? And I'm thinking, I don't think I remember any, but maybe they just kind of go on, like, the local, like, access times.
Yeah, local television they'll be okay. On. Unless it's Texas, it's really big in Texas. So
okay. Okay. So, that was Ice Shield 21. Then we'll move to Yomamushi Petal, episode 10.
Okay, so basically, this is an episode where we get to learn about the green-haired guy. And the green-haired guy does some training with the main character, Onoda. And... you know, kind of funny stuff goes on there. And, if this episode was pretty good, but you know, it did seem like a step down from some of the from pretty much everything that we've seen so far. It kind of wasn't as good. What did you think?
I kind of mirror your opinions. It did seem a step down. It did at least start to give us a little more information on one of, like, the sort of side characters, which is good. Although I had an observation about something, and that's the part where Naruko and golly, how am I forgetting the name of one of the most
Imazumi.
Yeah, that. So they each tell Onoda, like, oh, I'm practicing, but don't tell the other one about that. And so they both tell him that. And I was just kind of thinking, why would you need to be a secret? Wouldn't the other just assume you were practicing? Don't you practice anyway? And that even continues into the green-haired guy, where he was, like, mentioning, I practiced in secret. And again, I'm thinking, why do you need to do it in secret?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was just kind of, I was just thinking that you don't need secrecy to practice. Okay. Fortunately, I don't have too much else to say, but I've got Haikyuu episode 10. So, in this one, they sort of finished the sort of practice match thing between them and the local association of former players or whatever it was. Anyway, the main thing about this is that it's really just all about, is that it's really all about, like, Hinata learning about, oh, I don't have to be the ace, I just need to be a good player and other people can be the ace and such. And, yeah, I don't really have that much else to say. I wasn't that thrilled by it.
Yeah. I just noticed that the way they say the word ace kind of sounds like they're saying a-hole. That's what it sounds like whenever they say the word ace. And it's like, okay, that's a really bad translation.
I think it's a matter of, like, the Japanese, because a lot of things can't be written exactly in Japanese. Like, a weird thing about quirk of Japanese is that unless it's an N, you can't end a sound on a consonant, which is why you have all those times where they'll say something and then they'll, like, be like a vowel sound at the end. Like, for
waifu.
Waifu. Which actually, is that, like, I suddenly, like, think people use that all the time in English. Is that, like, an actual term in Japanese that people use?
I don't know.
But yeah, like waifu. You can't say wife, so you have to have the oo sound at the end. And in this case, it's, I think they were saying, like, eishi, like that, because you can't end it with an S. So you have to put a vowel sound at the end, so you end up with them saying eishi instead of, you know, ace. But
There's one other thing I wanted to point out. They use the word toss a lot, and that is an incorrect terminology for volleyball. The word they're looking for is set. Set is what they're talking about whenever they say toss. So it kind of bothers me because I'm like, well, you don't toss a ball in volleyball. You set it. So, yeah, that's kind of annoying. And that's not a case of, well, I don't know how much that is translation, or I don't know. I mean, yeah, that might be what the word literally means in Japanese, but can't they just change that because what they're referring to is setting and not tossing? I don't know.
Now I can't, I can't remember. Did they actually say, like, you know, toss as in, like, you know, the English
thing? No, I don't think they say toss at all. I think they're using a Japanese word that means toss. Okay.
All right. Yeah. That I don't remember them saying. Yeah. I know they've said set as in, like, you know, seto. again, a case of you can't, you have to end it with a consonant. So, so you can't just, but yeah, so that you're probably right there. It's just a bunch of times where you'll actually hear sort of an English word, or at least an attempt at an English word in the dialogue, because a bunch of English stuff gets, you know, like how they'll, like, say, you know, football in Ice Shield 21, although, like, you know, it'd be more like football or however.
Yeah,
because that's how you end up writing it in Japanese. A lot of English words that get sort of transliterated end up kind of sounding awkward like that. Although, in Japanese, there's, like, in addition to the, you know, the convoluted Chinese symbols called kanji, there's two sort of alphabets in it. One of them is used to, like, you know, do foreign words or names, or sometimes just for style. So, so I can actually, like, on a Japanese site, if it's something's in katakana, I can try to I figure out what it means in English based on that. Except sometimes it's, like, just so butchered, I'm looking at the sounds and I like, I have no idea what this is. And I look it up and like, oh, so it's that English word. That's the best I guess they could do to coming to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we'll conclude with the new show we just I sort of recommended we give a shot. World Trigger Episode 1. Okay. Yep. So this episode starts out with giving the backstory for the universe, which is basically giant monsters came out of portals and attacked Mikado City, where it takes place in, and conventional weapons didn't work. But then a bunch of guys from an organization called Borders showed up and fought them. And these monsters are called Neighbors, and I'm not exactly sure where that name is supposed to come from. Like, how do you associate giant monsters from another universe with neighbor? And it's like the English word too. You hear them say like neighbor in that. So it like even goes there. I guess it's because their dimension neighbors ours. I don't know. It just didn't mention that. Anyway, so Border then like, you know, makes a big base and stuff and fights off the monsters when they show up. So our main, so we're introduced to Osamu, who's actually a agent for Border, although a really low ranking one. There's a new person in his class named Yuma Kuga, who, a lot of the episode is basically devoted to him sort of having wacky antics. So, so I'm going to skip. The important part though is that ultimately, one of the monsters shows up, and Osamu tries to, you know, fight it, but gets defeated. And then Yuma, reveals that he actually has that sort of trigger power, and does that, and then basically one-shots it. And, So then, like, Osamu's like, wait, how do you know this? Did you, are you from Border? And he's like, oh, no, I'm just, and he mentions that he's, from that, like, alter world. He says, I'm what you call a neighbor. And that's the end of our episode. So I'm curious, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought this was a really good first episode. I really like that guy's face. I forget his name already. You just said it.
Which character are you talking about? Just describe them. You mean the white-haired Yuma Kuga? Oh, yeah. Like that weird sort of like duck face he does?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that face. That's so funny. Yeah, I was really into this episode. This was by far my favorite thing I watched this week. It was very entertaining, and it gave a pretty good premise to the show. Now, obviously, there haven't been too many characters introduced, so but for now, it seems like it's something that's going to be pretty interesting.
It's great to hear you say that, because like I said, I always felt that the beginning of this series was kind of slow. So if you're like seeing the first episode and you're like, yeah, this is great, then yeah, that's a great sign for it. It was pretty enjoyable. I feel like maybe a few things could have moved forward a bit, but you know, I'm kind of looking at this in the perspective of having seen pretty much the rest of it. So, but yeah, some of the humor was good. It did get things across. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that because I had to like to remind myself of where it ended, I had to go back and like watch it again, because I'm like, wait, was this before or after Yuma says this, or was that in the next episode? So okay, yeah. Also, for the record, I don't usually comment on this, but I really do like its theme song.
Yeah, I don't remember it very well, but we'll see if it gets stuck in my head. So far, the Yo Musi Pedal and Haikyuu songs are both very good.
Okay, so that's all of our shows. You suggested possibly doing like a ranking of all of them instead of a top 10. Did you three? Did you do that, or are we still doing the top three for this one?
Well, we're still doing the top three for this one. And we can write those down and then reveal them on air for future episodes. But for right now, we can just do the top.
Okay,
three.
Yeah, doing like a full top 10, that's a trickier, that's a tougher one. That takes more work. But yeah, top three is much simpler. So for me, it would be first place is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the episode you hated. I hope we could still be friends. After that, I would say Yomushi Paddle and then World Trigger.
Yeah, so I'm going completely no Toonami this week. That's how bad it was. So not a single Toonami show gets on here. In fact, if I were to do a top four, it would still probably be no Toonami. So World Trigger number one, Yomushi Petal number two, and ICO 21 number three. Yeah, so fourth place would probably be Haikyuu. So yeah, it was just one of these nights where I just kept on watching and watching. I'm like, okay, didn't like that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the next show would be better. And maybe the next show. And I kept waiting. And then by the time I was finished with Hunter x Hunter, I was like, I can't ever remember a night whenever there wasn't even one show I liked. And that's pretty much why I'm so upset at the JoJo, is that JoJo's usually that show that I can count on, like, okay, well, some of this other stuff was stupid, but JoJo still had a solid episode. So whenever JoJo had like a pointless episode, I was more disappointed in it than I usually would be. So that's part of the reason why I didn't like it that much.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. But I will agree that, yeah, a lot of them were just, I would say, while not agree necessarily being as harsh on some of the shows, I do feel that pretty much everything on Toonami that I watched was a step down from the previous week, except for maybe Boruto, which I feel was about as mediocre as it was the previous week. And I guess I can't really compare Mob Psycho 100 because it was a new show. I guess I could compare it to One Punch Man and say I thought it was weaker than that. That's the comparison point. Okay. That's been Toonami Therapy. You can see our previous episodes at TommyAPhillips.com and ToonamiTherapy.podbean.com. We usually put these episodes up on Friday. We'll see you next week. Is there anything that you wanted to add?
Nope. Just have to say bye-nee.